Jesus tells a parable about the coexistence of good and evil in this world. God's judgment will remove all evildoers and causes of sin, but not until the end of human history. Our Holy Gospel for today comes from the 13th chapter of Matthew, beginning with the 24th verse. Jesus put before the crowds another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did those seeds come from?" He answered, "An enemy has done this." The slaves said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" But he replied, "No, for in the gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, 'Collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples approached him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field." He answered, "The one who sows the seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers. And they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen." This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Many of you probably know that my husband is a pastor. And being a married couple and being pastors, we realize sometimes that we have a sense of humor that maybe not other people have. And find things funny that other people don't. I mean, maybe that's just us. You don't need to share your opinion on that, but maybe that's just us. Anyway, early on in our pastoral ministry, whenever either one of us would mess up, so to speak, talk about someone, let a swear word slip once in a while, get a little judgy, the other one would smile and say, "Well, now that's not very pastoral of you." Mostly out of humor. I know it's not very funny, but mostly out of humor, but also to maybe call each other out. My husband's the one that started this oh-so-fun tradition, probably because I'm the one that messes up more than he does. So I asked him one day, "Do you really think that pastors are holier than others or better than others?" Of course he said no, but he went on to explain that when he was growing up, when he was a small child, he felt that priests and pastors were holier, that they were closer to God, that they never did anything wrong. When I heard that, I guess I could agree with that, that that's probably how I looked at pastors when I was a child too. To be honest with you, there are days when I come into my office and I see that plaque outside of my door that says Martha Harrison, pastor, that I feel kind of like an imposter. I wonder if I'm good enough for this calling. There are days when I feel like I'm an imposter when it comes to being a follower of Jesus, too. Am I good enough? Am I following the rules, the law? Am I loving enough? Am I working hard enough to avoid sinning? Is there redemption for me? Is there redemption for the world? When I allow myself to question, to wonder, my mind can go to these places. I know that might seem a little odd, but maybe you have those questions too. Maybe you wonder about those same things. It was with these thoughts that I approached this week's gospel lesson. Jesus continues his teaching this week using parables, using these parables that are using farming images. If I'm honest with you this morning, this is not one of my favorite parables. I struggle with it. It's a parable that when we first read it, it seems to split our world into two categories, wheat and weeds, good and bad. It splits the church into those categories as well, good and bad, us and them. It's a parable that seems on the surface to be divisive, to claim that there are good people in this world and that there are bad people in this world, and you cannot change from one to another. And that in the end, it will be sorted out. Let's just take a moment again to remember the details of this parable. There's this field, and the farmer plants it with good seed, the wheat. Everyone goes to sleep while they're sleeping. The enemy comes and sows weeds among the wheat, bad seeds among the good seeds, weeds that look exactly like wheat. When the plants begin to grow, the workers want to know if they should go and get rid of the weeds, and the master tells them no, to let them grow until harvest. At the harvest, the weeds will be collected and bundled and burned, and the wheat will be gathered and put into the barn. Wheat and weeds, good and bad. Are there people in our world that are just wheat? Just good? Are there people in our world that are just weeds, just bad? And is it even our job to make that determination? Could it be that you and I have both wheat and weeds within us, and in the end, Jesus will remove the weeds from our life? That through the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ, we will be redeemed and washed clean of our sins? I remember a time during my first year in seminary, when I was sitting in class waiting for it to start, our professor walked in, drew a big circle on the whiteboard without saying anything. And he turned around and he pointed to the center of the circle and he said, "These are the so-called insiders in our church, in our world." He then explained that the outside of the circle were the outsiders. Pretty straightforward. But then he asked, if Jesus were here today in the flesh, where would Jesus be? Who would he spend time with? Well, if we look at Scripture, we know that Jesus would spend time with the sinner, the outcast, the outsider. Because to Jesus, there was no inside and no outside. It was all about loving others and welcoming them into the kingdom of God. It was all about tearing down the divisions that humans put up, the walls that we build to say who is acceptable and who's not. You see, we're not called to determine who is good enough, so to speak. This parable is not telling us to start separating people into wheat and weeds, even though sometimes I think our brains do that. This is not an invitation to sin as we would like, either. To do anything we would like, because in the end, we will be redeemed. I believe that Jesus is telling us that while we are in this world, there will be sin, there will be evil, there will be times when we make decisions that aren't the best, there will be times when we mess up. There will be times, more often than we will like, when we ask, why? Why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to my family? Why is this happening to someone I love? Yet as followers of Jesus, we are called to love. We are called to show mercy, compassion, and forgiveness. Being a disciple of Jesus isn't about ranking people. It's not about excluding people because they've sinned. And on the other hand, it's not about being perfect. It's about following that commandment that Jesus gave us to love God and to love one another, because there is redemption and hit through him for everyone who believes in him. There is redemption for the times when we mess up. There is forgiveness when we forget to do what God has called us to do. And there's always a way back into the community of God. Many of you are aware that we have this new service group here called Serving Hands. It's a group that goes out typically once a month to help an organization in our community. Our first project a few months ago was to help out ministry on the margins. We did various projects like painting and sorting food, some cleaning, and I had the opportunity to sit with some folks who needed some pastoral care. At the end of the afternoon, those of us who could stay joined with Sister Kathleen and some other folks who dropped in for a meal. When the meal was over and we were just finalizing the cleanup, Sister Kathleen started asking some of the clients that were there to leave because it wasn't a typical time they were open. She was telling them that they could come back later. Our volunteers had left, and I stayed behind to chat with Sister Kathleen and just help her finalize the cleanup and lockup. Pretty soon we heard some commotion outside because everyone had kind of gone outside and just sat outside. You see, there was a fight going on between two men, and there was a woman egging them on. So when the fight would settle down a little bit, the woman would cheer it on so that they would start fighting again. It was a wonderful, situation. Sister Kathleen rushed right outside. I held the door open so that the door wouldn't lock behind her, and she stepped immediately between the two men, trying to defuse the situation, and she called the police. The police arrived and defused the chaos, and the men were given trespassing tickets, which means they were not allowed to be at the Ministry of Margin for a period of time. After all the chaos settled down, and there was a whole lot more chaos than I didn't share, I asked Sister Kathleen if those men would ever be allowed back at the ministry again. And she said, yes, but there's a process. They would have to meet with some of the staff to figure out why the fight happened, make a plan for being able to participate at the ministry again. It was a plan of redemption, so to speak. You see, these men made a poor choice that day, but there was a chance for them to receive forgiveness and turn their lives around, to make better decisions. I witnessed strength in Sister Kathleen that day, but I also witnessed the grace of God that's lived out through Sister Kathleen and the ministry on the margins day in and day out. They extend grace and love to those who we might think in our own sinfulness don't deserve it. But the reality is this: we all have wheat and weeds within us. Sometimes our lives resemble the farmer's infested field, and we long to be just wheat, but we know that weeds and sin and brokenness are all a part of this world and a part of our life. But we have hope. We know that the promises of God are for us, that promise that sin and death have no power over us, and that because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have been set free from the power of sin and death. We put our faith and our trust in that promise that Christ has died, Christ has risen, and Christ will come again. On that those days when we wonder, why do bad things happen? On those days when we wonder if we're good enough. On those days when we wonder if things will ever get better, we hold so tightly to that promise of redemption through Jesus Christ and the hope that it brings. Amen.